Welcome to the Emmy Louie Show. I am Emmy Louie, and today we're interviewing Leymana Pelton. Leymana Pelton is an award-winning artist, designer, and bamboo expert. He's founder of the Bamboo Village Hawaii, and their mission is to promote the use of bamboo as an elegant and sustainable building resource uniquely suited to Hawaii's economic and environmental needs. Welcome, Leymana.
Thank you, Emily.
So tell me, why are you so excited about using bamboo?
Well, I was first exposed to what it could do by the work of Simon Velez in Colombia, South America. And his work was and is so exceptional, and it's contemporary. His background in Colombia, they have used bamboo for buildings, even government buildings, for hundreds of years, in agriculture extensively. And I saw a picture of a building of his that the roof, it was a three-story building. The roof was approximately the size of a football field. And I managed to be able to go down there and study with him and his master builders, and that was in 1996, and ever since then, I've set out to bring that concept to Hawaii, and of course, that would flow over into the United States, in order to offset the impact that we have in our forestry practices using trees as our lumber source. And so Hawaii imports almost all of its building material from the Northwest, and including Canada. And I would like to see Hawaii be more sustainable, and I would like to see the impacts on the forest be lowered by the use of bamboo. In all forms, but I emphasize using bamboo in its natural form because nature has engineered this plant to be exceptionally strong. And I've been a part of bamboo testing. An associate of mine and a person who was inspired by some of the conferences that we've provided. When I say we, I don't mean Bamboo Village. I mean the American Bamboo Society Hawaii chapter has been instrumental in providing information to the public here via conferences, and we've brought speakers from around the world here to explain to the government and to just people in general how important it is, how important a plant it is. So Hawaii would be an excellent proving ground for what's possible to do with bamboo to provide all sorts of things, from biomass fuel to a superior building product. So Bamboo Village Hawaii, that the idea there was to form a nonprofit to encourage the use of bamboo, to demonstrate its potential in designing structures and providing information to people that are interested in growing it on a commercial scale, etc. So that's basically what we're about. It's about beginning a pioneering an industry.
So I know people are listening, and some of us don't live in Hawaii. And I know you're in Hawaii, although when it comes down to it, everything that we talk about, even globally, is a local issue. So we got to start somewhere. And so when you talk about these types of things, you have a very strong vision about this.
Well, I'm not the only one. The American.
What is needed as far as the education is concerned? I know there's a lot of education needed for this issue. What are some of the things that you haven't seen that you want to educate people on besides, I know there's just a whole bunch of things. And I did talk with some of the other bamboo experts that are in Maui.
Well, you know, I think there's a growing interest in bamboo generally, all over the world, and a good amount in the United States, and it's been going on for, well, the American Bamboo Society is the oldest organization promoting bamboo in the world, actually. It's the one that's lasted the longest. So, and they're very strong in the Southeast and the South, because that's a good bamboo growing area. Over there, it's mostly temperate bamboos, and they're in Hawaii, they're invasive, so we discourage the use of temperate bamboos here. But on the mainland, in continental U.S., those bamboos do very well, and they produce good, strong bamboos. The tropical clumpers are some of the strongest in the world, but in China, the temperate bamboos are what they grow mostly, except for in the southern provinces. So educating people, there's lots of books and beautiful books about what has been traditionally done with bamboo, especially in Asia. There's not been a whole lot of information about what's been done in South America with bamboo until recently. And then some books were produced in Colombia. Tropical bamboo is one. And then there's been some other ones recently produced in Germany, one about Simone Vélez by Ziri. And it's about the Hanover Exposition. And that was exposition was very educational. And he built the largest bamboo structure ever built there, the Ziri Pavilion. And there's an excellent book about that pavilion called Growing Your Own House. And it provides, it's in two languages, English and German, and it provides a lot of comparisons explaining, that demonstrate why bamboo is important natural in its natural form and how strong it is, and it compares it to all sorts of things, including steel. It's actually called vegetable steel because it's per weight, it's as strong as steel. So you take the same weight of bamboo, same weight of steel, it has comparable strength. But bamboo being very light, of course, steel is more compact. But when used properly, it's just an incredibly strong
Tell me about that, because you said you state that bamboo is the most ideal form for building. It's the most ideal for Hawaii.
The natural form of bamboo is an engineering masterpiece. In its natural form, a lot of the way humans do things is they tend to want to make it easy to build with, and so they mill it up into another form, like laminated together, whether it's for floors or beams, or they shred it and make the fibers into another kind of beam, which is what the lumber industry is doing now anyway. But the bamboo fibers are a lot stronger than tree fibers. I'm saying this in a generalized sort of way. I'm not a scientist. I have good intuitive skills as far as engineering, but I don't base my building on numbers. I base them on my practical experience, and that's what I teach. So a very strong component of Bamboo Village Hawaii is teaching, and I teach students from all over the world, and I participate in workshops all over the world where I teach. The largest building that was a result of one of those workshops is now in Italy, and it is the largest building in Europe made of bamboo, and it's close to the Milan airport up in the foothills of the Alps. And it's about 180 feet long, 60 feet wide, and 22 feet tall. So it's a social pavilion for four villages.
So that is one of, you said, your buildings?
That's a building that was originally designed by Simone Velez, and he and his master builders were supposed to go to Italy to build the building, and myself and an architect from Germany were supposed to teach the workshops, but I wound up taking charge of the whole project, teaching their engineers and architects from mostly Italy, but from other countries too, the mechanics of it, of the design, and I redesigned it for the workshop so that the pieces, the trusses, could be built horizontally and for students and for people that had no experience. It wasn't appropriate to send them up and scaffold to build these things. They just would have been too difficult. So we built the trusses on the ground and then craned them up into position. The way Simone Velez builds is from the top to the bottom. So you create the roof support system and then connect it to the foundation with the appropriate posts and beams. And so we did that, but we built the trusses flat on the ground. So I designed the trusses. I redesigned them. I used Velez's model, a basic structure what I learned from him, and then I took it from there and changed the design a little bit overall, and then in detail, mostly using his model, I just elaborated a little bit, and that's what I taught. Mm-hmm. It's an internal hardware system. It's not an inexpensive way to build. Mm-hmm. It's quite labor intensive, and is a more expensive way to build than conventional ways.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, my focus, ever since I've learned this skill, these skills to do this, has been to, and incidentally, I want to mention this, the beauty of using bamboo in its natural form, if you understand how to use it, is that you only need a few simple tools, like a drill, a hammer, a chisel, and a saw. That you can build almost anything with just those tools.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, that's what the workers in Colombia use.
Mm-hmm.
To build any size structure. So that's incredible. That's sustainable. And anybody can do it with the knowledge, with the skills.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the way it is in our Western society, I've tried to develop a system to enable people without such skills to make structures, at least in the beginning, simple structures, or maybe additions, a lanai or a garage or something like that, or simple sheds, agricultural buildings, and so on, with a joinery system that I've been developing.
Okay. So we'll talk more about that. We'll take a break now, and we'll talk more about your internship program and the joinery system that you've developed. And I'm with Leymana Pelton, and the website is www.bamboovillagehawaii.org. And so we'll be back. I'm Emmy Louie. Welcome back. I am Emmy Louie, and we are here with Leymana Pelton. Leymana is an award-winning artist, designer, and bamboo expert. He's the founder of Bamboo Village Hawaii, and we are talking about using bamboo in its natural design, whereas it's not flattened out, right? It's in a regular circular hollow shape.
Right.
And that you are saying that it's very simple, although it's very labor intensive, to do it. And at the same time, even though it's labor intensive, it's a very sustainable way to use our resources.
That's right. I just want to mention, in terms of people being inspired to look into bamboo, to read about it, I would suggest David Farrelly's book. Now that I've mentioned it, I can't even remember the title. But the author is David Farrelly, and his book.
How do you spell his last name?
Farrelly is Farrelly. I hope.
I'll look that up during the
break. He's a marvelous writer. He's just poetic, and his appreciation for bamboo is unbeatable. His book is just wonderful. There's lots of books out there, but he goes through the cultural aspects of it, the way that bamboo's been used in the culture for thousands of years, and appreciated by especially the Asian countries, and particularly Japan, I think. Although I think China's out there in the lead right now in terms of what they're producing with bamboo for export all over the world. And they're also, in terms of education, there's an international nonprofit called INBAR that's an acronym for International Network of Bamboo and Rattan. And really, it's mostly about bamboo. And they have an international board, but it's based in China. And they're educating, particularly their emphasis is in educating the third world or less developed countries and bringing them up to speed with the technology of how they can grow bamboo and utilize it for making products and exports. So that's a very, very important organization and one of the more important organizations around.
Is that organization getting stronger and stronger every day, as far as, because that seems, that is a answer to the issues that as a world we're dealing with as far as using up our resources and everything.
Right, and I think that's so important for them to try to make contact and spread, to educate the people in the countries that are basically, I'm sorry to say, trying to catch up with the United States, and this happens via television, and it's very unfortunate because they're being misled, led off of their track. In a way, I think undeveloped countries are the most primitive, what we consider primitive, are actually the most sustainable. And those countries are being tromped on by, you know, international corporations that go down there and see a resource and just gobble it up, or see a potential for erasing a resource and planting in something else that make cash crops, whether it's, you know, no matter what it is, and it's probably the most destructive force on the planet. So Simone Velez, who I mentioned before, did a very important thing. His family is basically on top of the social ladder down there in Colombia, and his father was an architect and built huge buildings and such. He decided to use an old traditional building material that's considered to be the poor person's building material. When they didn't have any money for anything else, they could always go harvest some bamboo, which they don't even call bamboo. They call it guadua, and that's what we call that bamboo down there too, but it's a scientific name that we've adopted from their tradition. And that's what they put up incredibly strong structures with. But as soon as they have the money to buy a different material, they buy a lower grade material because it's socially more prestigious to have these other materials. So that's unfortunate. So he set out to build and design for the rich and famous. And he's accomplished that. He's got that kind of support. Now he's changed the face of the country. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. Now all over the country you see elegant, beautiful buildings being built out of bamboo. And instead of hiding the bamboo and making it look like a concrete building, now they're exposing it and showing the poor people try to emulate the richer people. And now they're seeing, hey, they like bamboo. And they're realizing there's different ways to use it to make it look more beautiful. And so it's becoming a prestigious building material in South America. And I would just love to see that happen here. So that's a way to educate through practical utilization. And that's kind of where I'm at, basically.
When you were mentioning all of this stuff just for the last 5 minutes, I was thinking about fire-resistant ratings. And I don't know if we have to blame it on Vitruvius, but I know when I went to architecture school, one of the things that I learned about Vitruvius was that, permanence, one of the three, it had to look permanent. And that's not exactly the word, but I swear it was permanent when we read about Vitruvius. So what are your thoughts about the fire-resistant ratings and the permanence or impermanence about it, or how do you view the life cycle of a structure?
I'm asked that question quite a lot, and I have more than one answer for it.
Good.
One of the first things I did, and I did this because Jules Jansen, who's an engineer from the Netherlands, who dedicated his whole professional career to demonstrating bamboo strength and testing it. He was a professor at the Eindhoven University in the Netherlands. So we brought him here for a conference. And at the end of the conference, he said, well, now you've heard all the information about bamboo and how great it is and so forth. But he said, unless you just plan on using this as a kind of a hobby, then the first thing you need to do is demonstrate a resource that's dependable. And the way you do that first is to treat the bamboo for pests. Because if you don't, chances are, especially in Hawaii, the powder post beetle will get into it and turn it to dust. Well, that isn't necessarily true if you harvest it properly and you do everything just right. Chances are the bugs won't even bother it at all. But it depends on the species. So I took that to heart and set out to build a treatment plant, and I used Dr. Walter Lease's model, which he calls the boucerie, and I prefer to call it the pressurized sap displacement. So what that means is you take a pole of bamboo and you hook it up to a rubber fitting and then to a PVC manifold, and you pressurize that manifold, so you have a lineup of bamboo poles on a table, and they're all hooked up to this manifold, and you pressurize them, and when they're green, right after they're harvested, and so the sap is still very liquid and running and dripping out the ends, and so you pump it from one end out the other end and displace it it's called Timbor or Hybor. It's a boric acid boron solution that is the user-friendly way to treat lumber these days, and most lumber places are using this. And so you displace the sap, push it out the far end, and replace it with the boric acid boron solution, which we'll call Hybor. And that's made by U.S. Borax, and they send it all over the world. There's other chemicals that can be used, but that one's considered to be the most friendly. It's basically a salt, and I've taken a piece of my bamboo, which I've treated in a very normal way, and then put it into a campfire, actually a campfire contained in a cement bowl kind of thing that I built, that produces very, very hot fire. So So, you know, when the campfire gets to that almost light orange, light yellow glowing, that's the hottest fire that there is. And I've thrown a piece of bamboo right into it, and it actually puts the fire out. Not completely, but it reduces the temperature, so it turns sort of black. And the bamboo never flames up. So it is almost fireproof, but really you would conservatively call it fire resistant. So it has a more resistance than it, this is what I've been told, I can't really say it firsthand, but I've been told it has better fire resistance once it's been treated than lumber does.
What is your other view? Because you said you had multiple answers to my question.
Permanence was the other part of it, the permanence.
Yeah.
The oldest structure of bamboo that I know that's still standing is in Japan, and it's 600 years old. That's a structure that was used for cooking, cooking inside the structure. So the smoke kind of created a layer of tannic acid on the outside of the bamboo and turned it very beautifully dark brown and preserves it incredibly well. But with good paint and treatment, bamboo will last as long as lumber. I say that utilizing bamboo in structures, there's rules, and one of the rules is you really try to keep it out of direct rain and sunlight. Those are the two most harmful factors for any natural building material that'll, you know, break it down. So the way I build is always with ample overhangs, and I use ferro cement as a cover on it, which protects it from the outside and leaves its natural beauty to be appreciated from the inside primarily or up underneath. It's probably best used, its best application is for roof support. That's because it's so light. So even if you were to use some other material like concrete blocks or whatever down below, up above, it's this really the greatest roof support system, you know, making trusses and such out of it. But I'll mention a Costa Rica project, Fun Bamboo, it was called.
What bamboo?
Fun, it's like fun, Fun Bamboo.
Oh, okay.
But it's Spanish, so it's Fun Bamboo. Mm-hmm. It was a project where they built 1,500 homes in Costa Rica in the 90s, and it was sponsored mostly by the Netherlands and some other countries that put their money together, about $9 million. And they designed, it was actually a South American designer, architect, who produced these very practical, low-cost designs. And the buildings were probably 80% bamboo. They made frames out of a local hardwood, and they infilled the frames with a woven bamboo mat, and then they joined those frames to the main frame of the house, and the roof was all trussed with bamboo. They plastered the walls, so they basically look like cement structures. But the roof support system was all exposed, and then there were elements around on the interior that were exposed bamboo. So shortly after they completed the first models for those houses, and incidentally they provided these structures to the general public in Costa Rica, and it was a self-help arrangement where they were required to provide at least 20% of in-kind costs, in other words, labor, to build their own houses. So they built the foundations and they helped in the construction of these prefabbed units. These buildings were prefabbed in a factory down there that they built, and the treatment plant was done there. They started actually by producing plantations, so they grew out lots of acreage with guadua. And guadua is, incidentally, worldwide, it's recognized as the premier structural bamboo for building all over the world. And it can grow at lots of different altitudes and different rainfalls. It's very adaptable.
So guadua is a species, a type of species?
It's a genus, and the species is Angustifolia.
And that is, you said, was it temperate?
No, it's tropical.
Tropical bamboo.
Yeah, but it'll grow in subtropical. It grows at higher elevations in the Andes, which is kind of a temperate climate. I don't think it can handle freezing, but anything above freezing, it'll probably grow. Now, just exactly how it'll grow is hard to say. Every bamboo, well, just like trees, it's climate specific. So, in other words, wherever it's grown, they have to, in lumber and everything, they establish numbers that are very low, so that, to make sure that people use it safely. And the same thing would be necessary for bamboo. But bamboo from, I mean, guadua from Hawaii is probably going to test out just a little different than guadua from South America. And so on. Anywhere you grow whatever bamboo you're growing, you have to take into account the climate conditions, rainfall, everything like that, because it's going to be a little different. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, across the board, guadua is considered to be the best bamboo choice for construction. And it's one of the only bamboos that you can nail or screw into without the possibility of cracking. A lot of bamboos you have to pre-drill. So that makes it a little more complicated.
Mm-hmm. So we're here with Limana Pelton, and his website is www.bamboovillagehawaii.org. There's a huge amount of information about the bamboo and his projects and all that, and it's a... Even I'm looking at the website, it's a very fantastic, almost a flying structure in a way, where it's so lightweight. And so I am Emmy Louie, and we're here and talking about bamboo, and we'll be back. Yes, we are back. I am Emmy Louie, and we're talking about bamboo, the natural form of bamboo, with Limana Pelton from the Bamboo Village, Hawaii. And so... So we are talking about the guadua bamboo.
Specifically, it's guadua angustifolia. Angustifolia is the species. And even it comes in two different colorations. But just to talk for a moment about the plant itself, guadua here in Hawaii... this is guadua angustifolia, grows to a 6-inch diameter, very straight, short node distances. The nodes are the rings around it, and the distance between the nodes is called the inner node. So it has short inner nodes, which is considered to be a good strong factor. And it grows up to, so far, 80 feet. And it's as a secondary use, the leaves from the tree make very good animal feed. It's about 22% protein. All bamboos, this is across the board. But our guadua here, Simone Velez has visited here and looked at the guadua, how it grows here, and he's recognized that the guadua in our village site is particularly good example of a powerful timber type plant, and so gave it very high marks. I have two sites. I'm selling one, my house, and moving down to the village site, which is a rainforest. A lowland rainforest, about 900 feet elevation, very old, virgin forest, never been developed or changed at all. And we're demonstrating a sustainable kind of living environment there, just using what we have. And I planted a lot of food trees and a lot of bamboos in different species. And a species that's been classified as native to Hawaii, but it's only like 50 years old, but it was brought here, went to seed, and became a different species. And that can happen with bamboo if it goes to seed in all the if it go, exposed to seed, it's called gregarious seeding, and it will kill the plant. And then you only have the seeds to produce the next plant. And it's usually every seed produces a new species of bamboo. Very few of the seeds will be true to the form it was previously. So anyway, with the guadua and some of the other excellent bamboos like strictus, which is a tropical bamboo, and it's one of the most common tropical bamboos, a little smaller in size. It's 2 inches or so, maybe 2.5, 3 at the most, and grows 50 to 60 feet tall. And that's a real, real powerful, small diameter bamboo, almost no hole in it. Everything else is the same, but it has almost no hollowness to it until you get up towards the top.
Mm-hmm. So you did say that the guadua is the only one that you can drill without pre-drilling a hole. Is that correct?
There's only a couple of bamboos that you can nail, just like you would a board, or screw into with large screws. Anytime you screw into a bamboo, you have to pre-drill it. Otherwise, you stand the chance of cracking it for some reason.
Okay.
I'm not really sure why that is. But with guadua, you don't have to do that. You can just pound away on it. It doesn't crack.
Mm-hmm.
And it has very thick walls. That the only bamboo that's been accepted in the building code is the bamboo that grows in Vietnam. And they do nail that one too. And it's a very, very thick wall bamboo. I think guadua is a little superior to that, but maybe I'm prejudiced, but a lot of experts agree with me, and that's the bamboo we used in Italy also. So anyway, going on, our plans currently for our bamboo and our future projects is I've designed an arch that is visible somewhat on the website. It's my my workshop, and it's about 45 feet long and 3 feet wide and 22 feet tall, and it provides me with a good low-cost covered space to work in. It's an open structure. So I've done some closed-in structures. They're more, of course, a lot more complicated and involved. My dream was to do a low-cost living structure like they did in Costa Rica, but not a box. I kind of have a problem with living in boxes. So to provide a multi-sided structure to live in and to make a production of it here in Hawaii. But I tried one and it just about, it was too expensive to set up. You know, to try to do a low-cost structure, it takes a lot of capital to do that. So all my structures, I've tried to develop a system for people, well, for myself primarily now, but in the future for other people to be able to use this system. And it's kind of based on the way the bracketing systems for dimensional lumber building that are very strong in holding the lumber together better than just nails. So I produced the system for bamboo to do the same thing. It's a bamboo joinery system that uses bolts and metal tubular brackets to easily join bamboo. It only requires just one simple cut with a saw, and then you stick it into the bracket, and then it's held together with stainless steel bands and some bolts and screws. So that's my joinery system, and it's what I use for the arch that's been my workshop since 99. So it's 8 years old, has a tarp roof, but these joint structures with the metal brackets can have any kind of a roof, from cement being the heaviest to metal or tarps or whatever. All the ones I've been doing are considered temporary. I put them in recycled tires filled with concrete and pipes or brackets sticking out to accommodate the posts. And so we're going to be having I'll say there's two different things I want to mention.
Sure.
In the past, I've had interns, mostly architect students, and oddly enough, a lot of them, most of them were from Yale, but they've come from around the world to study with me because there really aren't very many places for students pursuing a professional career to study practical techniques to build with bamboo. To obtain that practical experience is very rare. So until 2005, I was training students from various places, Canada, U.S., South America, Europe, to do just that. And then I quit because I was basically faking it. I didn't really have proper accommodations for these people. So then I trained a couple of people locally as apprentices so that they could help me teach future interns and students who either want to come just for a one-week workshop or spend months in learning the ins and outs of the practical applications of bamboo and construction. So now our aim is to build our new workshop at the village site along with the bathhouse and other buildings. It's still pretty rough down there, but we're going to put up what's going to be the largest bamboo structure in North America and the Pacific. It'll be 5,000 square foot on the ground, and there's going to be eventually an inner structure that will be two stories higher. So it'll actually be a three-story structure that's the first story is 5,000 square feet. And that will be what we call a winged Gothic arch. So it's a Gothic arch frame with big cantilevered eaves that go out on each side. So
yeah,
it'll be
your logo.
It's the logo.
Yeah, it's the logo. And you can see the joinery system on the first page of your website, www.bamboovillagehawaii.org. It's on your logo. And it's drawn, looks like it's drawn to scale, too.
this structure has been through every kind of weather you can think of, high winds, torrential rains, and three major earthquakes, and it doesn't even phase it. But that's an extremely light structure and very flexible. Even the little pavilion that's on the website that has a cement roof, that is a 20 by 20 structure, and the roof weighs 15,000 pounds. And that handles earthquakes amazingly well. I'm very impressed by the thing. You know, to design and build something and have it just sit there is one thing, but when a 7.0 earthquake comes along and shakes things pretty drastically, it feels really good when you watch it.
What, the earthquake that happened just recently?
Yes.
When was that? Was it this year?
Well, actually, it's been
year,
a couple
it?
Of years ago, but it was pretty big. And then very recently, we had a 5-point something or other. It was actually, I think, the scariest earthquake I've experienced here. It only lasted for a few seconds, but you could look out at the ground and watch it coming like a wave. And when it moves through the buildings, the buildings move too, like a wave. It was amazing.
Keep in mind that there's really not that many earthquakes in Hawaii. I remember growing up there for 20 years, I never experienced one. So earthquakes are rare, right?
You didn't grow up on the Big Island, though.
Yeah, so they're not that rare.
No, there's actually 400 a day.
Because of the volcanoes?
Yeah. But they're just tiny little things, and they're very deep. And some of them are in the ocean, so they don't really amount to much. But we've had three big ones in the last 10 years. A 6.9, a 7.0, two 7.0s? Well, the last one, there's the two that I remember distinctly. Everybody remembers them because they brought the buildings down and everything and destroyed aqueducts. But the last one was pretty fierce, but it was short, and they didn't give it a real high rating. It might have wound up with a 6. Mm-hmm. But it was scary, because when you see it coming, you know, and you see the ground bumping up and rolling towards you, you kind of go, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you right now you are planning to have people over to learn your system of joinery, and so you can show this and pass this on to other people.
Yeah, we're going to have small workshops because I'm selling smaller ones, and so the people that buy them, I'm going to encourage them to participate in the pre-buildings of the structure. Because at any point, if they want to do anything to their structure, if something happens to it, you know, like a tractor runs into it or something, breaks a piece, they can actually change out that piece themselves. They don't have to have me come and do it, if they understand. It's not only just understanding the way the structure's put together, but understanding the basics of building with bamboo. It's not just like a board that's been milled out, and all you need to know is the dimension and length of the board.
In other words, it has a certain life of its own in a lot of ways. It has dimensional properties. It flexes. There's
right.
properties to it that
right.
are not similar to a 2x4, maybe a little.
Well,
so yeah, it both.
2x4s are made to just get down to the bottom line, and then they have formulas, and engineers have numbers, and actually, bamboo has numbers now too, but this is different. This is building with a natural thing.
Well, the thing is that I'm familiar with 2x4s because that is one of the first jobs that I got out of college was that my architect boss told me about 2x4s, and that the essential thing to do about 2x4s is to build a box, and you're building a series of frames that give it strength.
Right, and you just keep stacking it up.
Yeah, you keep stacking it. And this is different.
This is different
because it has more of an arch issue.
Well, it doesn't have to have an arch. In fact, as far as I know, I've emphasized the arch because it's graceful.
Well,
beautiful.
And strong. It's very graceful.
And bamboo plants, most of them do arch.
That's its natural kind of property.
Yeah, but one of the bamboos I use doesn't arch at all, and if you try to bend it, it doesn't like it. But guadua has a slight arch to it. It runs straight for the bottom part and then arches at the top, and that's the way it is. I teach people the basic thing is look at the plant and try to understand
what it wants to be,
how it deals with wind. So the bottom is the foundation, the support that gives you the compressive strength. The middle of the bamboo is good for the kind of tensile strength. And the top of the bamboo is the most flexible. So that's where you'll put the bamboo into a horizontal use more. So as you go up, it becomes more strong in its flex. And you can just sit there and watch the bamboo whipping around in the wind, and it's like, yeah, it's a no-brainer, you know.
In other words, you got to listen to the bamboo.
You got to pay attention.
Yeah, you got to pay attention to it. And with that comes a certain type of sensitivity to the bamboo as well as to other things like the environment. And that is what we're honing in on, is to listen to what a thing wants to be instead of just making it what you perceive it to be.
Right. Yeah, there are laws in nature. And my whole career, even before bamboo, was such that my concept, my purpose of doing my art was to bring people's attention to the natural forms in nature. So all of my art was revolved around nature and natural forms. And so bamboo is kind of a natural progression for me. And instead of making objects, I decided I wanted to make environments that were natural, that when you are in them, you just feel good, just like you feel good in the forest. I like the idea of feeling good in your workplace or your home, you know, and you don't have to, well, it's one, I just love being outside, but unfortunately, we have to spend a lot of time inside. So a lot of the architecture that you see nowadays has arches in it. I was just in Thailand, and the Bangkok airport is supposed to be the biggest now, is what I understood. I could be wrong about that. But those buildings are arched buildings, and they're steel and glass, but the primary cover is canvas. On the biggest airport in the world, they say, it's covered with canvas. And we think of that as, you know, a temporary material. But I guess not. So I love that because fabric kind of coverings goes very well with natural forms because it'll contour itself to that form. And so that's why I've used canvas over my arches, although the big one that we're going to be doing in this workshop coming up, there's actually going to be three main workshops that people will be able to be participating in putting up this big, beautiful thing. It will be covered with polycarbonate.
Okay, so we are almost out of time, Limana, and thank you for this interview. Limana can be reached, is it info@bambuvillagehawaii.org, is that correct, Limana?
Yeah.
So Limana can be reached at the email info@bambuvillagehawaii.org, and his work is very cutting edge, and it's very forward-looking and very progressive, or maybe it's not so progressive, it's just introducing something that we haven't, at least in America, haven't embraced just yet. And we are going to embrace it, right, Limana?
I certainly hope so, and I certainly hope I can help people.
And you're going to leave a very strong legacy towards using bamboo and being friendly to the earth. So thank you, Limana, and I am Emmy Louie. You're listening to the Emmy Louie Show, and thank you for listening to our show.